words the Lord gave me was, is there yet a cause? Is there yet a cause? C-A-U-S-E, cause. I'm wearing braces, forgive me. Is there yet a cause? Is there yet something that's worth fighting for? Amen. The church, we get so complacent sometimes. But we've got to understand, first of all, the battle. Is there yet a cause? Is there yet something worth fighting for? Are your families still worth fighting for? Are your relationships, your marriages, your finances, your community, your church even, is it worth fighting for? Because I'm going to tell you something, we are truly under attack.
Yes.
Both from without, externally, and from within at times, internally. And what Satan wants to do is get our minds off what is really at stake here. Because what we're commissioned to do is build the kingdom. And now the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. And this has been one of my favorite scriptures because we can really miss out on what it is we're building. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. And so there is a fullness of joy. There is the fulfillment of right relationship and right standing with God. There is a peace that God wants to give you, that sense of stillness and calmness, although everything around you is shaking, that God wants to give the body of Christ so that we can release it on the world. Now, first of all, we got to release it on each other. You really got to release the kingdom on people that are in the trenches with you. Because the people around you are those that are fighting the same war you're fighting. They're fighting against complacency. That's one of the biggest things in the household of faith is complacency. It's just getting there, sitting there and saying, well, we've done this. This is good. Let's just maintain. Some churches get comfortable. They say, look, I don't want a big church. I don't want a big church. I want it just like it is because I know everybody and I'm comfortable. There's a spirit of complacency that will overtake the church. And I tell you, I love Pastor Goff because he'll just shake you up. He'll just embark. God will just give him a plan that will just shake you up. But if you shake up here, if faith is released in you right here, you can release it in your everyday life.
Right.
Some other things that really we fight so much in the church is that spirit of complacency or stagnation. But in 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, we find David. And David is at Ziklag. He has not taken the throne as of yet. Saul, he's been ostracized and put out by Saul. Now see, sometimes the battle, I said, can be from within, not just from within your local church, but within the church body. Because whatever it is that the church at large or the institutionalized church does not understand, it oftentimes attacks. Come on, somebody. Sometimes what is not understood is often attacked. You know, we hear all this good music by Kirk Franklin, and it is kind of passé to us now. You know, we're kind of comfortable with it. But now, 20 years ago,
they
were attacking the Lions for letting my people go.
Right.
Somebody
remembers.
They were in the blue leather suits.
Yeah.
Kind of posing, you know. Bogan a little bit, and the church attacked them. Oh my God. They got Teddy Riley in. They got all these folks, secular people. Oh my Lord. They got Anita Baker singing. And so the Winans were attacked. Now, you know, nobody even cares anymore who sings on it. You could have Jay-Z. Yeah, nobody would care. John Wall, nobody would care. But there was a time when people like Kirk Franklin, people like Ty Trudy, people like Tone were attacked because what the church a lot of times does not understand, it will attack. And now, Saul saw the anointing on David. Saul was the king. Saul had been anointed king. Saul was really a spiritual leader for his people. But Saul didn't understand the way the Spirit of God was moving. Because if you don't move with the cloud, you tend to miss out on the move of God entirely. Come on. You have to move with the cloud, where the Spirit of God is moving. And that's why one of the battles in the church is for an ear that's sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. listening ear to the word of God. Many times, God tells us, go to Nineveh, and we run on to Tarshish. He told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he said, I'm going to the beach. So he went right on the coast. He said, those people, those Assyrians are nasty folks. They're vicious. They're brutal. They have terrorized us. And they don't just walk into a town and say, okay, we're going to subjugate you. They kill everything there and repopulate. They were like the Borg on Star Trek. Resistance was futile. They were terrorists. Absolutely wicked. And he told the prophet of God, I want you to go to these wicked people and I want you to minister to them. He said, I'm going to the beach. So one of the challenges to the people of God is a sensitive ear when God is telling you to do something that is outside of your comfort zone, something wherein you feel uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer is not comfortable. Amen. I'm telling you. We can sing. But prayer, this is how I know prayer is not coming. Because many people, you say you have all night praise and worship, people will come. If you say you don't have all night prayer, okay, you'll be hearing crickets. I'm telling you, prayer is uncomfortable. Because prayer reveals you to you. Who wants to see that? Hey, I'm really. I don't always want to see me. Because prayer reveals both the good things that God is doing and the things that he needs to do. It reveals the good things. It opens you up to the Spirit of God. And so he reveals to you his fullness. He starts talking to you about all the great things he wants to do. And then, if you pray long enough, he'll start telling you about some things that you need to work on. Prayer is uncomfortable. And then, if you pray a little longer, you start telling God some things you want to do for him that you wouldn't ordinarily tell him if you really had your right mind. Because I'm telling you, you start making promises to God at the height of prayer. You're like, God, I love you. God, I serve you. All to people, I surrender. And then God starts saying, okay, well, you know, when you first got saved, I was kind of easy you into righteousness, but you really can't shack up anymore and fornicate. See, prayer. She ran and told everybody, I met a man who told me she was rejoicing because someone revealed to her the things that she needed to work on. Come see a man that told me everything about myself. Seldom, that's true deliverance, when we're happy about what God reveals to us about us. But here's David. And David has been kicked out. The word here says, in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, he was banished from the presence of Saul. He was banished. They kicked him out. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I'm in verse 1. Kicked out of the presence of the king. One of the challenges, while you're looking, 1 Chronicles 12 and 1. One of the challenges is when God sets you apart, when God evicts you from prestige and fame, when God says to you, I want something more from you, you're not going to be cookie cutter, you're going to be different. The challenge here is the spirit of life to be different. That's a battle. The battle to be different. And that's a battle. Because really, we like to have formulas in the church. In the institutionalized church, we like to have formulas. We like to have the 10 keys to prosperity, the 8 keys to faith. It's kind of easy to remember. So we like a formula. But the challenge with all of that formula, we like to see things that work. We look at ministries and wow, that church. Then the ministry writes a book. The ministry experience is phenomenal growth. And it writes a book about how it grew. Then you read it and you see that there's a formula. Amen. And so the challenge, though, is when God says, but with all of that, some of these principles are just divine principles of stewardship. Are just principles of stewardship. If God can trust you with 10, he can trust you with 100. If God can trust you with 100, he can trust you with 1,000. If God can trust you with 1,000, he can trust you with 10,000. If God can trust you with 10,000, etc. It's about stewardship. But there are times when God says, beyond that, I'm calling you to be different. David was called to be different from the very moment when he encountered Saul. He said, I can't wear your armor. It doesn't fit. That's a battle. The desire to conform. It's a battle. God will call you to be different, but then there's this overarching desire to conform. And the church really is about conformity. So we want you. We want us to be unified. We want to be transformed, though. Not just conformed, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because if our minds are renewed, then we're unified. Verse 8. I'm focusing on verse 8 of chapter 12. Some Gadites, okay, this was a tribe, defected to David at his stronghold in the desert. David had been driven out. They were brave warriors, ready for battle, and able to handle the shield and spear. Their faces were the faces of lions, and they were swift as gazelles in the mountains. These were God, the next challenge is the challenge to align yourselves with people that have the same vision. These people defected. They left something that was not right for them. And it was hard because, see, these were tribes. This was a whole clan, not with the king, with the sea. These were a group of people, family, that said, you know what? What is happening over here is God. And I see that it's going to take a mental shift. They have to shift from what they were familiar with to where God was moving. And they brought with them the skills they had. See, that's the next battle is to have the church take advantage of the skills you bring. Because many of us had skills in the world that we didn't use. We weren't using our powers for good. We were talkers, some of us. Hustlers, some of you, since many of you were. You just put your, there were word weavers. There were some hustlers out there. There were some people with an entrepreneurial spirit, but just didn't know how to channel it. And the challenge for men and women of God is you put some things away, but now, wait a minute. You had some positives. There were some things that Satan had diverted and perverted for his use. But it's time now for the skills that you have, the gifts that are on the inside lying dormant, to come out, to be released upon the church to build a kingdom. These Gadites left what they knew. What's important about this scripture is they left and they brought with them weapons of warfare. They came ready to do war. They came ready to fight. What's emphasized in this scripture is they were strong. They were swift. They were quick on the uptake. Satan wasn't going to get all up, down, and around them because they knew how to fight. The challenge for us is to get prepared for battle. Prayer prepares you for battle. Worship prepares you for battle. Service prepares you for battle. Faithfulness. If you can't be faithful, now, you know, the pastor talks about setting things in order. But most of the time, what I find, even in large churches, is a lack of spiritual order. Even in large churches, it'll get past it because you can order some things so much you order the Holy Ghost right on out.
Wow.
And that's out of order. When the Spirit of God and the gifts of God are not allowed to operate, that's out of order. That's out of order. But people get so afraid of things getting out of hand, then they try to handcuff the Spirit of God. The challenge in growth is to have order without without slavery. Order without oppression. Order without bondage. Because Satan always comes in trying to pervert what it is we're trying to do for the Lord. But these Gadites left, and you have to be careful about people who defect. Because you never really know what you're getting. And so the challenge for the church is how we handle defectors. Because they could be Decepticons coming up in the church, mad, they always ruin one church to come and ruin yours.
Wow.
You gotta be very careful about people who defect. Because you just might be getting some disgruntled person that this pastor was happy to get rid of. Be careful. Though you can always tell, though, a defector that God didn't send. They're the kind that always have something to say about what is done in the church. Always, someone say, never positive. They're not can-do people. They're Capital One people. You know what a Capital One person is? No, no, and no. No. Can't do it. That's the Capital One person. Everything is no. They have a ministry of no. And not in a good way. They have a ministry of no, it can't be done. But you have wanted people that said, I had a spirit of yes over there, but they wouldn't receive me. I wonder if these people can benefit from the gifts, talents, and abilities that I have. Even when you're ministering to people, pray that God will send you out to those that can be an asset to the body of Christ here. Lord, please, we want to minister to the hurting. We want to minister to the helpless. But God, we're trying to build something too. And if we're going to get some defectors, please don't make a Decepticon. Don't have them coming in trying to sleep with everybody in the church. Come on now. Come on, somebody. Lord, we bind the hustling spirit. They try to steal the church folks' money. Lord, we bind that spirit of negativity that tries to put a darkness and a damper on every vision, every plan, every progress that the church is embarking upon. God, help me, Lord, to minister and to bring folks in the church that want to be here. Lord, let them be Nehemiah type people, for people had a mind to work. Lord, send some workers. God, I'm willing to labor, but God, help me, attract me to people that work.
Yes.
I'm telling you, women, this will help you too. Lord, attract me to people that work. Amen. The workers.
Amen.
Oh, God. Deliver me from people that want to be taken care of by the church. They want to bring all their baggage. Dump it on the altar and say, now, give me. And don't want to give. Lord, bring us givers in the house of God. We don't mind. The church is a hospital. But even the hospital asks you for insurance.
Yes.
You have to pay a deductible. Come on, somebody. You know, salvation was free, but it wasn't cheap. It costs. This mark is going to cost you something. And so when you embark upon this battle, understand that God lead us to people who are coming to be an asset. To be an answer and not a problem. This is important because we can pray for deliverance. You stand on these long enough, your friends will be delivered, but maybe it's not for them to be in this church. We want to believe that everybody should be here. But you know, I got some people in my church, they should be at my church. They should be am I right, buddy? They should be nowhere else but our church. I would put them on you folks. No, it's my cross. It's his cross to bear. He don't have to bear the cross alone. Me and James do it for. We do it. Jesus don't have to bear it. And we don't need to bring him over here. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
We're grooming. We're helping some people. And by the same token, some of you all were meant to be right here. You might think the grass is green. That's the next thing. Satan will bring to you when you're really trying to in this understanding warfare. Is there yet a cause? This church is worth fighting for because this is where God sent you. He sent you nowhere else but here.
Amen.
Your destiny is here.
Amen.
Your breakthrough is here. Your deliverance is here. And I know you might see other things out there, but I'm telling you, the The grass isn't always green. It's just some AstroTurf. That stuff ain't real. Because if you talk about a perfect church, it ain't out there. It's not real. And so David, I'm sure, was very happy. We have verse 16. Other Benjamites and some men from Judah also came to David in his stronghold. David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you have come to me in peace to help me, I am ready to have you unite with me. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our fathers see it and judge you." I'm reading from the New International Version. I want you to really understand this. There might be people that miss this. David said, "Look, if you come and bring me problems, God's going to judge you. I don't want no problems. If you come to catch me at a moment when I'm unaware, if you come to kick me when I'm vulnerable," this is what he says, "at a time when I'm not fighting." There's sometimes when pastors aren't fighting, they have a moment of vulnerability, even a moment of weakness. But if you, what he's saying is, I'm doing a periphery strike against you. If you come before problems hit me in my ministry, this is what David said, before the bad times come, because it's looking good now, I'm winning war. But if you're coming to kick me when I'm down, stay where you are. Because there's going to be a time when I'm going to lose a few battles. I won't lose the war, but I may lose the battle. If you're going to be with me in the good times and not with me in the bad, stay where you are. Don't, please. These were people, you know, Benjamites. These were people from Saul's tribe. So now he says, look, this is some serious stuff here. Because basically, you're turning your back on your brother. So if you're coming, if you're giving up everything to be with me, then be with me. And this is the challenge when you're fighting war, to be all in it. In warfare, you cannot be halfway in it and halfway out of it. You've got to be in it truly to win. You've got to be committed to what's happening right here. Because if you're committed, you will reap the harvest. If you're committed, commitment, let me say about commitment. 2 seconds, about 2 minutes, about commitment. When you really commit to something in the house of God, it changes your life outside of the house of God. If you learn how to be faithful here, you will not have to worry about getting a promotion on your job. You will not have to worry about finishing things you start. Because this is the hardest thing to be faithful to. Wow. Now, you know, we need to stop, the church needs to stop lying to folks. This walk is not easy. He said his yoke is easy. Yeah. His burden is light. He never said being in the church. Let me tell you, the church is like Noah's Ark. You got giraffes, you got elephants, you got hippopotamus, you got monkeys, you got lions, you got tigers, you got weasels, you got hyenas, you got mice, you got rats. Come on, man, just gnawing at everything. This, but it's the church. And God put them all in that ark and said, you're going to be together for 40 days and 40 nights. Wow. Now, that ain't easy. And that ark was just a smelly place. And that's the church sometimes. The church can be a stinky place. Because everybody, your issues are welcome here. Your issues are welcome. We just are saying to you, you're not going to keep them and stay here. You may bring them here, but you're not going to keep your issues. We're the issue releasing place here. We're the deliverance. The house of deliverance is here. But it's not easy, and we need to stop lying. It ain't easy. His yoke, the yoke of the word, this word, yes, he said, give us a simple roadmap. But he put us in human flesh. So we need to depend on the Holy Ghost and each other. You are your brother and sister's keeper. And that's why David was very clear. Look, you're leaving your brother. I don't know what I'm getting with you. But I want you to know, look, I might have some down days. I might have, and I love this church because this church is a church that understands transition. You can be up and you can be down, even with one another. But everybody ain't like that. Some people run from the hills at the first sign of trouble. That doesn't build community and it doesn't build the church. That's why so many people are running right on out of our community. They are running right on out. Won't stay. Sometimes you just can get something cheaper in Lancaster. That I understand.
Yeah.
I feel you. Okay? But there are others who say, I just can't deal with these gangbangers that are shooting up the neighborhood every weekend. Because that's because it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard being about community. The church is where change begins.
Amen.
The church is where, and see, if you can be, if you can be committed to this, if you can be faithful to this, and being faithful is not a Sabbath thing. Being faithful is a Bible study thing. Being faithful is a men's meeting thing. Being faithful is a choir rehearsal thing. It is difficult. I'm going to tell you from experience, it's difficult. It's difficult. I was youth pastor. He said you got to be there every Wednesday night. Every demon in hell would fight that Wednesday night to keep me from being there. Every demon. And I would always be incredibly tired. And a spirit of rest would come over me around 6:30 because it started at 7. And I would want to just lay down for 15 minutes. This is not easy. Faithfulness is not easy, but it's rewarding. Because see, parents, if you're faithful to the house of God, you will raise faithful children, yes you will. You will raise children that know how to be faithful, that know how to be consistent. If you say, I am consistent, therefore you will be consistent. You'll be consistent in school, you'll be consistent in this house, because you see an example of consistency. Verse 18. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Or is this helping somebody?
Amen.
Verse 18. I'm almost done. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the 30. And he said, we are yours, O David. These were the 30 Benjamites. We are with you, O son of Jesse. Success, success to you. And success to those who help you. For your God will help you. So David received them and made them leaders of his raiding bands. Who would? These are the people you want in leadership. I'm success to you. God, but in other words, look, man, I'm with you. But I'm not just with you. I am with you for success. I want God to do great things in you. And you know, when I pray for somebody, especially I was praying for the children. When I pray for children, I pray for incredible success. And I really feel it. And I mean it. And when I remind myself, when I call you my friend, I want everything in life to work out just the way God wants it to. I want success. I want prosperity. Now, sometimes we don't have those kind of people around us. We don't have relationships. We have relationships. Just a bunch of leeches. They just leech off. Oh, come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? You have people. You say, look, I want to do X and Y. That costs too much money, girl. And I knew somebody did that, and they went into foreclosure, and they on the streets now, and still go. You know, it's always something real, like, extreme. Like, and they on drugs, too. And last week, they called a case. I mean, you know, whatever it is, you have people in your life that do not wish you success. Run from them. That's why David interviewed people. Are you with me or against me? Because I need some people that are out for my success. I have been. She worked with me. But we understood. I was a kind person back then. Okay? I am not the same. But I had a long practice, and I'm telling you, I always wanted to partner up with people. Because I figure that we all, now, you know, this wasn't racist, but I figured, okay, we got a small group, a cadre of black attorneys. We should all be able to work together. But the devil is a liar. I should have to tell you not to steal from me. You just want to do it. And you know I was denying you. truth. That's why I bring her, because she's a living witness. The attorney I'm working with says fair is a place of rise. Care is always. And so I said, okay, this isn't working out. I brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you've taken it. So now let me go and try and align myself and bless somebody else, because you, David, wherever he went, he was anointed, he was done with your faith. Everywhere. I have made $1 million and lost $1 million. I know that wherever I go, I'm going to bless whoever I'm with. You will not be my friend and not prosper. You will not be next to me and not prosper. I will try and pull whatever gift God has in you. I will put it out. I will. I will make it my job to find a way to help you do whatever it is you want to do. That's me. But everybody. So I aligned myself with some other people. I said again, this is about community. And they also made a lot of money. And took a lot of money. You see, and I'm not bitter about it. I'm better. In fact, this is the happiest, y'all, really. This is the happiest I have ever been. And I'm going to tell you why. Y'all want to know the secret? I'm not with none of them. I am alone. It's me and Jesus. See, I'm determined that what I have, you didn't want. And I'm mad at you. I was mad at me, but I'm not mad at you. I understand now. You couldn't handle the favor. Everybody cannot handle the favor of God. Pastor, everybody. First lady, everybody cannot handle the favor of God. Wow. Preachers will see what you do. This small community, they'll see this and get mad at you. Come on now. They'll make comparisons and all. You got to run from people that don't mean you success. Young people, raise your hand. Stay away, because this will bless you. Stay away, because I want to say something. See, I do criminal defense. And I represent some young folks between the ages of 17 and 18. Okay? These are about five of them. And they are looking at about 15 years in state prison for robbery. And these are bad folks. No, really. They are sons and daughters. Sons, really. They're ours. When I represent young people, I don't have any children, but they're mine. Okay. And so they're looking at 15 years in state prison, not prison. Everything you see on prison break, but worse. Okay? So, and they don't care that they're young or talented or gifted. Only Lorraine Hansberry cared if you were young, gifted, and black. Okay? Society doesn't care. But their only crime, the only thing I can really, okay, they rob, they're accused of robbing a few, stores and stealing cell phones. But their crime, beyond stupidity, is walking around with phones with GPS tracking. Really, the crime, though. There's a satellite, people. Felicia. Okay. Beyond stupidity. Because that's almost, a quality of you. Their only crime was they didn't hang around folks who wished them success. One young person in this church, I'm not going to identify them, said, they said, what is the one thing that you want? He said, that God will help me to withstand peer pressure. I said, oh, Lord, this is like a Solomonic prayer. If every young person came to me and said, peer pressure, because you got young men that just turned 18 looking at 15 years because of hanging with folks. But no, this is not just for teenagers, though. We can look back over our lives and say, I wouldn't have been an ex if I wasn't around, why? I wouldn't have ever thought about drugs if I hadn't been around this person. I would never thought about stealing or robbing or lying or cheating or ruining my relationship if I hadn't been hanging around. You want people. That's why it was important. That's why you know it was the Spirit of God. Because I'm telling you now, you have to be spiritually discerned the problem. I was talking to a friend of mine who got married. She wants out. I mean, and she's like, I want out. She's saved, you know, the Holy Ghost. He's saved. Read books, but she wants out. Okay? And part of it, well, a large part of it, is that you don't walk into it spiritually discerning one another. Okay, I'm going to pray and ask God for who you are in the spirit. How much, really? That ain't the prayer. That ain't, you know, come on. You know, we don't do that. I mean, it's, she's so cute. He's so fine. I like him. Ooh, Jesus.
Nobody really loves you except those people who are always with you.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the key. Now, Ken Starr has talked to me, you know, the former IG, talked to me about working more with him, with my law school. You know why? Because things are happening. But now, when I was banished from the camp, oh, that didn't feel good. See, and that's the thing. And understand the battle that he understood. I'm getting a lot of defectors because they see that I'm winning now. But I've got to maintain the same kind of presence of mind I had in law banishment. Because I didn't think the way you thought.
Right.
I didn't want to do it the way you did.
Yeah.
I've got to maintain to now all those views I had. See, I had some real, not so popular views when I was in law school about government, about what we should be doing for people. See, I was in the camp.
Uh-huh.
I always talk about community. I always talk about social justice. I always talk about feeding the hungry. I always talk about baptizing people with peace.
Right, right.
So they don't think they didn't want to hear. But see, now it's the right climate.
Right.
Those crazy things I was talking about then.
Right.
They were putting them in articles.
Right, right.
My law school, you know, my law school was very conservative. She went to Cuba and ministered the gospel. I did go to Cuba. And when I went, it wasn't popular. Ain't that popular really now. But I went to pass out some Bibles and ministered to some people. And I didn't really care about what people told me. Because when I got there, everybody was receptive. Prayer meetings all outside the house. The first person I met full of the Holy Ghost was a Seventh-day Adventist in Cuba. See, but that's when you allow yourself to be banished. The church will kill you if you don't leave and say, I want to do what it is God wants you to do. And so these people now see that he's winning. He's named. They're going to see it. Pastor Dawson, oh, Pastor, look at what he's doing. They're going to want to defect. But you better understand who's defecting. They're going to want to come from established churches and say, you know what? I love the freedom here.
Yeah.
But understand, if there were a problem there, watch them.
Yeah. Amen.
If they didn't mean you any good there, they might not mean you any good here. You just might be the next big thing. Watch it. But he received those who came and said, we have been sent by God to help you. And we pray success on those who help you. We're not here for ourselves. We want other people to come over and help you.
Amen.
And we're going to believe God for their success. When Manasseh defected to David, he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. And then I like verse 19 says, he and his men did not help the Philistines because after consultation, their rulers sent him away. They became afraid of David, but he had to be very, very intelligent about fighting. Because see, and as you read, you'll find out that he was allied of sorts with the Philistines because he had been driven out. You might ally yourself with some unpopular people. But it won't be a fight against the people of God.
Right.
It'll be because God is trying to make a statement.
Right.
They might think you have lost your mind. David had to play crazy while he was with those Philistines. I've been in situations where I've looked around me, especially when I was in Cuba, and said, look, this is not friendly territory. People would think I've lost my mind. But when there were 300 people at a prayer meeting, and I was praying in the spirit, with Santeria priest, I understood that although I'm in a place that's hostile,
right.
It's not opposite
right.
Or in opposition to the will of God.
Right.
You might be in a place that looks in opposition on the outside. And this is very subtle. Catch this. Because the Philistines were the enemy of Saul. But they were willing to align themselves with David because they saw the favor.
Yep.
There will be people out there that are not necessarily people of God that will nevertheless want to assist spirit of life because they see the favor. You have to still maintain your identity.
Yes.
That's the challenge.
Right.
That even though I'm in the midst of war and I'm being fought by the people that shouldn't love me, I'm being loved by the people that should hate me, I've got to maintain my own spiritual identity. You might be on your job. And I really want to help those who have opposition on your job. I really do. Because I know about it now. So I can tell you. You might be on a job where there's opposition. And I'm telling you, sometimes the worst foes can be those that call themselves Christians. And you might have a chain-smoking, beer-drinking supervisor that God has nevertheless put in a position to bless you. Why? Because they see the favor. See, a lot of times we don't make this practical. But I'm telling you, there are people looking out for you that might not necessarily be in the household of faith. Wow. And people with a knife to stab you in the back who are. Let me really tell you, because then when the opposition comes from the church, you'll be able to stand. And when the assistance comes from outside of the church, you'll be able to receive it. Because so many times we run from people God has sent to help us. They don't look like me. They're a different color. They're a different height. A different religion. But I'm telling you, I've been blessed. I've been blessed by people who initially were my enemies. I got people who openly fought me because I was saved. They said, I want you in my department because you're saved. Because you're trying to convert us. And then brought me in the department and made me the resident expert on religion. See, God would do this. Oh, I was angry at him. Wanted to be, you want to be mad at your enemies. But I'm telling you, he will make your enemies your footstool. This scripture right here, verse 19, talks about how these were his enemies, but he didn't have to become his enemy to do the will of God. And he didn't have to become his enemy to receive assistance from his enemy.
All right.
That scripture, he said he'll make your enemies your footstool. He'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. They'll be at odds with everybody else. They won't be able to get along with anybody but the favor of God. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to hear this. The favor of God will make them bless you. The favor of God will make them help you. They will not help anybody else. There will be loan officers that do not want to loan any money to churches. They might have a policy of not loaning to churches. They might look around and say, we don't help churches. We don't loan money to churches. But they will loan money to you. They will find grants. They will find programs. They will assist you in doing the community things that God has put on your heart to do. Why? Because of the favor of God.
Amen.
Is there yet a cause? Because this is something that you have to fight for. It's not something you can sit back and watch all that happen.
Amen.
No. David had to set up a stronghold. All of these people came to a fortified city. They understood that there were things already in place. That's why I love it when the pastor talks about order. Because when you set some things in order, you attract people that are quality individuals. If you have chaos, you attract the chaos. If you have confusion, you attract the confused. If you are frustrated, you attract the frustrated. If you operate in a spirit of frustration, you attract what you are. But if you have
goodness,
if you have excellence, you attract a spirit of excellence. You attract a spirit of order. The warfare, though, is a fight for it. Is there yet a cause in the church? You have carpet on the floor. I love this platform. I love this great mic and this sound system. But there is still yet more that has to be fought for. If you really want to go where God wants you to go, if you really want to be what God wants you to be, there is yet a fight. And the key is going to be who and what you align yourself
with.
Even in your life. The key, if you, there are people here, and I sense a spirit, an entrepreneurial spirit. And sometimes, you know, maybe James brought it. But I sense an entrepreneurial spirit. There's about five to ten people in here. I sense it in my spirit, 5 to 10 people in here. That God has said, you can operate in a specific area of business. God has already put it on your heart. God has already done it. There's at least five to ten. God has already done this. God, in fact, the word of the Lord for you is that God will make it so that what has not worked for others will work for you. Some of you are reluctant to do this because the kind of venture that you want to get into has failed for so many. But I want to encourage whoever you are. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Because God told me that even though it's failed for other people, it will work for you.
Amen.
All you got to do is step out on faith. If that's you, let me just pray with you. Hallelujah.